the fire hydrant in Crazy in Love, in one part of the video, it goes spraying up and mm-hmm. she's dancing in it. And mm-hmm. in the video for Hole Up, she whacks the fire hydrant
right.
and it starts spraying.
That's so Crazy in Love.
I love music videos. I don't know. They add so much detail to the song, I feel like.
I did not plan it. I didn't do like a ton of research and say, oh, this video refers to the video we're talking about. So,
this is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter.
With Willa Krishnaswamy.
And Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Welcome back, listeners.
Okay, so this is our second time saying welcome back now. We didn't record the first one.
Yeah, apparently. You're saying you got some messages about...
Yeah, people were like, why did you say welcome back in your first podcast episode?
Well, I mean, I don't know, I guess.
People may not listen to these in order.
Yeah. Dad, we have to get better about this. We're recording really late.
Well, you know.
I was ready. You were doing.
It's a snowy day and
you hadn't done any of your research.
Oh, yeah. And you know.
Dad's having a bad day.
Yeah, I'm having a bad day. The dog ate the sourdough. I made the best loaf of sourdough ever. And
well, this is off topic. But today we are talking about Crazy in Love by Beyoncé. This is kind of an old song. Not an old song, but it's not a new song either. So,
so I want to back up. First of all, okay.
Sponsors.
Yep. Sponsors. All right.
Okay.
So now, Willa.
Yep.
What did you think of what we just watched? Tell the audience what we just watched. And had you seen it before and describe it?
No, I hadn't seen it before. I don't know if it's like from a film or anything. I'm not sure if it's a music video or like, I think it's a music video. Because it's on your screen right now and it doesn't say official video, so it might be like a clip from a documentary or something.
No, it's called Hold Up. It's from Beyoncé's album Lemonade.
I have never understood why that album is called that.
Well, because I think the idea behind the name was, one of the ideas was when, you know, life gives you lemon, you make, you know, the expression when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was going through a tough period in her personal life, and she made that album. But it's a visual album, so every song
has a music video.
And the videos are very interesting. What did you think of that?
It was interesting.
What was she doing?
She had a baseball bat, and she was kind of smashing everything.
What really was the song about?
Well, the chorus is saying that she's just like, she doesn't love, she loves whoever she's loving differently than everyone else.
Right.
And she's asking, is it better to be jealous or crazy? And she's saying crazy, and so she's smashing everything.
Right.
Or not everything, not everything. I'm not going to go that far.
It's kind of, so... And it has that whole poem in the beginning.
Yeah.
That reading.
Where she's underwater. That must have been hard to shoot. I can't hold my breath that long.
I thought that was...
interesting. And
it was so interesting. That was art right there.
Yeah.
So it's funny you said, you know, crazy or jealous. Because the song we're talking about today is Crazy in Love.
Yeah.
And both of these songs, I think, are... about her relationship with Jay-Z, her husband.
Yeah.
But at very different points.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, Crazy in Love is from 2008, I think. And
2003.
Oh, yeah. And Lemonade, Hold Up, is from...
2016.
Yeah, so...
So they're married, they have kids, it's years later, and yet she's still making incredibly evocative art that feels very different.
Can I ask what's evocative?
You know, makes you feel something. Like,
yeah.
She's not bored.
Yeah.
She's feeling feelings in this relationship. They're different feelings than in 2003.
Yeah. Like, they're very different music videos.
Yeah.
I don't really have a big intro note about this song like I've had in the past, but I like this song because it's kind of like a, not classic, like upbeat R&B and hip hop, but it feels very like, you know, upbeat. Kind of, it feels very, it feels Destiny's Child.
Yeah, it's definitely, what does Ariana Grande call it? A bop.
Yeah.
When it's something you can dance, you know, it's like an upbeat song you're going to want to dance to.
Yeah.
So this would be a good time to play an excerpt. Should we do that?
Yeah, definitely. I look the steps so deep in your eyes. I touch on you more and more every time. When you leave, I'm begging you not to go. Call your name 2-3 times in a row. Such a funny thing for me to try to explain. How I'm feeling and my pride is the one to blame. Cause I know I don't understand. Just how your love can do it, no one else can. Got me looking so crazy right now. Your love's got me looking so crazy right now. Oh, you're recording.
Yeah.
Ah!
We're both dancing.
Yeah.
That's a banger.
That's...
It's a bop.
Yeah, it's banger bop.
Yeah, so...
One thing that I just thought of that's similar, there's a fire in both. I wonder if that kind of means something. It probably doesn't, but the car is, like, roaring with fire and crazy in love, and there's a...
Oh, you mean in both videos?
Yeah.
So
probably it doesn't, but I'm just thinking what connection, maybe, possibly.
So one of the reasons why we're recording so late today is because I told Willa that I hadn't researched enough. And the fact is that there's been...
You got to edit this quick, Dad.
There's been a lot of scholarship on Beyoncé, on Lemonade, on some of her other work. She's a big deal when it comes to musicologists. And I don't feel fully prepared to talk about how Lemonade connects back to Crazy in Love, because I'm sure it does. And it's so fascinating that you immediately found that common element between the two videos.
They're both being kind of reckless in both videos. Mm-hmm. Not in a bad way, but in like a crazy way. And the fire hydrant in Crazy in Love, in one part of the video, it goes spraying up and she's dancing in it. And in the video for Hole Up, she whacks the fire hydrant and it starts spraying.
So, Crazy in Love...
I love music videos. I don't know. They add so much detail to the song, I feel like.
I did not plan it. I didn't do, like, a ton of research and say, oh, this video refers to the video we're talking about, so we're going to watch it right before we record. I just pulled up. I was like, we should watch something from Lemonade before we record this, just to see, you know, kind of where she's gone. And it's so interesting that video is talking so much to the video for Crazy in Love.
I don't know. I just found those connections just now in my head.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sounding so, like, I know everything, but they probably don't mean anything, but, you know.
No, they probably do.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because this is a visual album, I mean.
Yeah.
And, well.
Okay.
Yeah, can we get into the questions?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So this isn't actually a question, but it's going to kind of, like, relate to some of the other questions. So list some of the major songs that helped shape this song into kind of what it is.
Well, so...
I hope you did research for this one, because...
Okay. So this song is built on and credited to a songwriter from a band called The Chi Lights. His name is Eugene Record. And... I'm going to blow your mind now. You ready?
Yeah.
Listen.
Don't want my heart broken, don't want to commit no sin.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm just a little confused. Doesn't that melody belong to Eugene something record? Whatever his name is. But did they do like some sort of legal copyright? Because I feel like that makes more sense.
So
that was literally like da, 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 da. That's like a hook and.
Yeah. So in the early days of hip hop, what would happen is a DJ and some rappers would get together, right? And the DJ would have a bunch of records. And some of the records, the DJ might start to spin over and over, looping them to create like a new beat that the rapper could rap over.
Oh, that's cool.
In fact...
Well, I mean, that's kind of the trap beat right now.
Well,
not. I'm like, I feel like that's used in a lot of songs.
I mean, a trap beat is programmed with a lot of drum machines, but it is looped like samples, and a lot of this looping culture, you know, sort of having one measure groove or a four measure groove that just happens over and over, or some sort of hook. That comes out of hip hop.
Yeah. Now I just want to point out quickly. It's just kind of funny that we did this when we talked about the Harry Styles song. We remember he was in One Direction and he was like obviously the one who was going to be the star. The camera was always on him. He got all the main vocals.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the same thing with Destiny's Child and Beyonce.
Yes, it is.
I just thought of that in my head.
Totally. And we watched a few Destiny's Child videos before we hit record tonight, and it was clear in those videos that Beyonce was the lead singer of the group, and got a lot of the camera time and was the star. So anyway, rolling back to what this song is built on.
That wasn't actually the question. I was just wondering, like, list some major songs that helped shape. That help kind of make this song to what it is, kind of like influences, because that's going to help the next question.
So that sample is definitely the heart.
So that song, what song was that?
Of it.
You don't have to.
Are You My Woman, Tell Me So by the Trilights. And the interesting thing, too, is that the way that copyright works, the songwriter is credited, but really the part of the song that they're using is that brass arrangement, and I really wonder how involved Eugene Record was in writing those brass parts, because it's all about that horn part, right?
Yeah.
You don't even hear the verse or the chorus of the song, but the music business is so weird the way that it works. So the songwriter is credited, but really it's those brass riffs that are the...
Yeah, those are really the thing that should be credited.
And the conga, right? So I wonder if is that conga player getting paid for Crazy in Love? I wonder.
I don't know, I hope.
Because that's the groove right
Yeah, that's
there.
How they... That's Yeah, quoting
so,
you, that's
in the order. Terms of other songs, I'm sure somebody could write in and tell us, but...
Do your research.
I think this is actually a fairly, like...
Original?
Yeah, it's fairly original. I think the way that the sample used is sort of the beating heart of the song, but what they put on top of it is like this fairly new feeling combination of R&B vocals
that
and
is
rap
almost,
and hip-hop.
Yeah, that's almost kind of a answer to my next question, because my next question is, was this song at the time a stretch for hip-hop and R&B genres that... Like, and what their sound was like, or was it more of a typical kind of timbre that you'd hear in other songs in the genre? Like, is this like a song that, like, if you listen to Kidz Bop, you'll hear Kidz Bop has kind of like a trademark, trademark, because they have like a signature sound. They always sound like kids, and you know, like,
yeah.
If this song played on the radio, would you be like, oh, yeah, I've heard a song like this, I'm gonna turn it off? Or would you be like, oh, this is like... This doesn't sound like the genre at this time, like.
It's interesting. I think it did stand out when it hit the radio.
But now, it's not.
In 2003, yeah. I actually think that this is an evergreen classic song.
What do you mean?
evergreen, meaning it's never going to
get old,
lose its leaves. Or, yeah, it's never going to get old. Like I think it's one of those songs that still sounds fresh when you put it on right now. But you know, in terms of what it sounds like, there were a lot of hip hop artists that were doing a lot of really interesting things with brass samples off of soul records from the 70s. And a lot of that stuff started, you know, was happening in the 90s with artists like De La Soul and A Tribe Called Quest. So there's
Quest
definitely...
Love.
Not Quest Love.
Oh.
A Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, okay.
So there's definitely antecedents to this song, but I think the combination...
What are antecedents?
Fresh. Like things that did what it does before... But the thing is, none of those songs that like sounded like that instrumentally had Beyoncé
or Jay-Z.
And Jay-Z as the front woman and front man, which, I mean, the two of them just have such amazing vocal performances on this song. It's just, you can't...
It's like, I'm trying to think, like, what a good way to explain this is. It's like... apples and honey, like that's such a good taste. It's like
oh, the combination of Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah,
it's so interesting,
like,
too.
Their voice, like, not like they're going over each other, like layering their vocals on top of each other, but like the way they kind of like sing their parts or rap their parts kind of goes really well into one song. Like, it doesn't feel like if you put, like, I don't know, Ariana Grande and Paul McCartney in a song, that would sound pretty bad.
Actually, I don't know.
Or maybe.
Maybe they should get together on a song.
Maybe.
You know, that it's interesting because there's another connection to the Harry Styles episode, because we talked a lot about Fleetwood Mac, and Fleetwood Mac is a band that when they put out their big record, Rumors. There were two couples in the band, Christine McVie and John McVie, were married, and Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham were a couple. And this song came out right when Beyonce and Jay-Z became a couple.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because you hear that extra spark of chemistry and tension between the two singers.
Yeah, I love the part where Jay-Z is like rapping and she's like, oh no. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That was bad, but you know what I mean.
Do that again?
I don't know. Anyways, question three. What are the different instruments and loops in the background if you take out Beyonce's voice? Now, I feel like you've already answered this question, like you're answering all your questions with the brass loop and other... like it, the bongos and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm essentially saying, I feel like what I've been doing is I've been running out of original questions and I've been kind of rewording my questions. So essentially I'm saying, I think in the last episode or a few episodes ago, I said, like, what is the instrumental built off of if you take out the singer's voice? And I'm sorry, I'm running out of ideas and it's only episode 5. But, you know, I think this song is a very, like, I've had really good questions in the past and I should... use them, I guess. I don't know.
Well, let's listen to a couple sections right now, and we'll talk
a little more. Of the
instrumental? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like there's nothing there, right? It's basically the sample.
I mean, it was kind of like I knew it wasn't on loop or replay, but it did sound kind of like the same thing. It was the bongos, the brass, the
There's the ride symbol, that mm-hmm. that really nice symbol work, that ding 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 ding.
Yeah, that.
And there's
thing.
Like a little whistle in the background,
yeah.
And then there's basically like a very simple breakbeat under that, you know, kick and snare pattern, and that's yeah. it. Everything done in this song is vocals.
Yeah, the vocals. As I'm listening to the instrumental, I'm thinking, why would I create such a boring question? The vocals really enhance the song, and
so listening to the instrumental makes me feel like the arrangement of the song owes more to hip hop than it does to R&B. If you were to separate those two genres, because R&B has chord changes, it draws from gospel music and jazz and pop music, and this doesn't have. This is a groove, and she just lays her melodies all over on top and backing vocals, but that backing track is just there to give her a platform to do her thing, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, I could, like, I don't know, go outside and sing on the street, but then if they put a stage up, I could really sing,
mm-hmm.
kind of like that. Now, for my fourth question, as a piano player, I should probably be able to identify this, and I don't know. I think I might, I don't know. I feel like, so I'm asking, so is this syncopated? And before you answer, the reason why I'm asking this question is because I feel like when it's syncopated, it feels more jazzy and R&B and a little bit more, because that syncopation is very jazz,
mm-hmm.
and it feels a little more kind of like unsettled, but also kind of groovy.
Yeah,
and
it's definitely syncopated, and
that's what I thought.
And the Chi-Lites were like a funk soul band, and you can, and a lot of that syncopation you can feel in those cymbals, dun 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 dun, the way that the cymbals are played off the beat. The brass also has syncopation in it, so if it was right on the beat, it would be ba 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 ba.
That's very.
That would be really boring, but it's da
da da da da da
da da da da da da da da.
I'm like.
And then her vocals, the it's not oh 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 or uh oh uh oh uh oh uh oh. No, it's like uh oh uh oh uh oh uh oh. So the first uh-oh, is on the eighth note after the downbeat, which is why it makes you want to get up and dance.
Yeah, I'm like...
Is that a good explanation?
Yeah. Holy Cheez-Its, I don't have good questions today.
Holy Cheez-Its?
Cheez-Its are not... I don't like Cheez-Its.
Okay.
So I say holy Cheez-Its.
Well, you know, you don't have to have a million questions. Like, what do you think... What other thoughts come to your mind when you hear the song? Like... What does it make you feel like?
It just makes me feel like this is a very successful song. It's a very good song. It should be listened to. It should be danced to. It should. It's not the kind of song you'd play on a piano in a symphony. It's a very... You put it on the dance floor and groove to it.
I hear the song and I see and I watch the video, and I have this amazing feeling that happens once in a while when you see an artist completely at the top of her game in every respect, like her writing, her performing, her dancing,
yeah.
Everything. She's just like,
give a couple of examples of songs like that so I know what you mean.
Oh gosh.
So I know what you mean, but I want more context.
Right. Well, like, I guess for example, the band that I, you know, love and play a tribute
Smiths.
To, the Smiths, like the Queen is Dead, that album is just them at the top of their game in every respect.
What about pop music, R&B, hip-hop?
Pop, R&B, hip-hop? I mean, like, there's so many different...
You'd say No Tears Left to Cry is...
Yes, of course. We can't get through an episode
without... We can't get through an episode without saying that.
Yeah.
We always reference it. It just came to my head, and it was like, in that song, you have the perfect balance, so...
Yeah, she's at the top of her game in that song.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. When you got, like, all the groove you need, but you also have the right notes. Yeah, this is very top-notch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Question five. So, what was the process of writing this song, and what different stages did it go through? Like, what were some of the, you know, you probably, since you said you didn't do that much research, probably don't really know a lot of the stages and know a lot of.
I don't know a lot of the behind the scenes.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The process of the song.
This is just a very flat episode. I'm sorry.
No, don't tell the listeners that it's a flat episode.
I'm very critical, even of my own work. Please.
All right, so then why don't we watch the Coachella live version of the song, and we might get some ideas from that.
I'm just wondering, how is that relevant? It was awesome to watch, but how is this relevant to the question?
Isn't it interesting that in none of her live performances, you know, they don't replay the Jay-Z rap? She just goes right through. But don't you love how she slows down the song in that Coachella performance?
Yes, and yeah. It's like, got me looking so crazy right now. It's got me, you know.
And what did you think of the flaming guitar?
If I was the singer, I'd be kind of scared, but you know.
You'd be scared.
I'm kind of scared of flames. You know, I'm 11 years old, so that doesn't matter.
Okay, so what's the question again?
What was the process of writing this song, and what different stages did it go through? But wow, you're not on your A game today.
I think, yeah, I can only speculate.
You can only speculate. Okay, well, let's give us your speculations. If anyone out in there in the audience knows, please correct us, because this episode, very downhill. I like to have some personality in the show. I don't want to be...
You are the personality.
I know. Say what you were going to say, please.
Okay, any more questions?
I do have one, but it's really boring. I don't think it really will help understand this song more. I mean, I can ask it. It's kind of boring, though.
It's a very simple song. There's not a lot to
unpack. Really a ton to analyze. I can ask it if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
But for this one, I'm guessing you can only speculate also. So what is the hook trying to do in this song? Produce dopamine, try to get a message across, both? Or is it trying to just be melodically catchy or get a wide stream audience, etc.?
Well, several of those goals are sort of work in tandem with each other.
Yeah.
So definitely going for this. This was written as a single. It's her first single as a solo artist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
First single.
Yep, and it's the first song on her solo album.
Dangerously in Love.
Yeah. So this is her. Bam. Like,
yeah, I was going to guess it was the second song of her first album, because people always put successful singles as the second song. You put Distracted as the second one in your album.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for referencing my obscure hybrid album. Available now at hybridsongs.com.
Let's get back on topic.
So, first single, first song on her first full-length album as a solo artist. And she's trying to define herself, break out, and cement her own audience as a solo artist.
Well, this is definitely the song to do that with. This is a hit.
It's... Yeah, and look, you know, all these years later, this is the song she's opening up with at Coachella. And the song that she's playing at Coachella.
It's like the biggest.
Yeah, and NFL halftime show. This is the song she's opening up with. So this song is central to her career, and as I said, timeless. So I think dopamine, I love how you mentioned that. So that's, what is...
Dopamine is a chemical in your body that, like, it produces dopamine when I have a Twix.
So it's like the pleasure receptor?
It's a pleasure chemical. And, yeah, it's kind of like, not a guilty pleasure, but it's a pleasure chemical.
Yeah, this song is definitely designed to be pleasurable to listen to. It's designed to be super hooky, like,
and catchy.
Like, can you sing the hook from the horns right now? Yep.
Yeah.
Like the vocal melody actually doesn't have.
The vocal melody does actually. I'm gonna say it's stuck in my mind for a while. I mean, I guess it could depend on. No, I'm not talking about the verses. I'm talking about the chorus.
Oh, yeah.
Got me looking so crazy, running.
Yeah, it's pretty hooky.
Got me looking so, yeah. Crazy runner.
So.
This is just
It's not a message song.
Yeah.
I don't think this is not a song that's.
This is not a delicate song.
No, not at all. It's not a subtle song. It's not like, I think I'm in love, or like I might be in love. It's like, I'm crazy in love.
Like
this is like, she is bottling up the most intense, fun, excited, emotional experience
into one song.
Of a relationship into 3 minutes.
Yeah. And
you feel it when you hear the song.
I just have a question. I completely forget what it's called, but you said in like Golden, it's like alternates with two chords or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same with this one?
So the chorus is actually the interesting thing is the chorus is a real chorus in terms of it's different than the verse. The verse is just on the one. It's just pedaling through the one. And then the chorus goes down to the six and then. It goes from the six to the minor four. Or to the major four, yeah.
Yeah.
So the chorus actually does sort of build tension. And then when you get back into the verse, you return to your home key.
Yeah.
So there is a chord change for the chorus, which is cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So definitely not like Golden.
No.
Okay. Well, those are my questions. My apologies for this episode not being as interesting. And
just tell the audience why you picked this song.
Because it's like an amazing song. It's a good song to listen to. I'm not going to say an amazing song to spark questions from what I've been saying in this episode. I'm very humiliated. No, I'm not humiliated. But it's just a good song. And you actually suggested it, so maybe I should ask, why did you suggest it?
Because I think this is the song that launched the career of one of the most...
Influential.
Successful, artists. Influential, and amazing R&B artists...
Is she more R&B or pop?
Pop, R&B, hip-hop, all three. And I think what's really fascinating is going back and looking at that song, first song from Lemonade, and seeing how it talks to this song, and it sort of returns to some of those visual images with
the
more
fire.
Like maturity and introspection.
Can I ask, what does that mean?
Introspection's like looking in yourself.
Yeah, and with the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Not that this will really, like, game change this episode, but can you go on Wiki and see how many Grammy Awards she's been nominated and won? I just want to see since Crazy in Love.
Sure.
How I'm doing a visual with my hand, like how much it soared into the air and became an actual career artist, how she became the Beyonce.
Hold on a second.
Not, oh, have you heard of this artist? Oh, no, I haven't. I'll go listen. Yeah. Okay. Like, I haven't gone deeply and listened to Beyonce, but I've heard, like, oh, do you know who Beyonce? Of course I know who Beyonce is. She's Beyonce. Like.
All right, we're going to the Wiccanator. By the way, did you know that her father was her manager up until 2010?
I did read that in the bio for her on Spotify.
And her sister, Solange, is also an artist?
No.
Yeah.
Who's her manager now? Not that it matters, but I was going to say, having your dad as a manager is a pretty sweet deal. It could also be kind of complicated.
Yeah, would you ever want me to manage your career?
Maybe. Maybe, I'll say that.
It spent 29 weeks in the Billboard Top 40.
Whoa.
It's 249 in the all-time Billboard charts. And for the decade of 2000 to 2009, it's number 40. That's interesting.
Oh, that's kind of weird. If it's 249 in the Billboard and it was on Billboard for 29 weeks on the top 40, mm-hmm. 249.
It won the Grammy Award for Best R&B Song and Best Rap Song Collaboration.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to talk for another minute. Oh, that's good.
Told ya. But we were just listening to
the epic orchestral version.
Yeah, why were you looking for remixes? Just wondering.
I don't know. You know, remixes and arrangements are interesting to listen to when you're trying to study a song because they are in some ways, okay, enough with the rapper in front of the microphone. A remix or an arrangement is sort of a way of listening to a song.
Yeah.
Because you can hear the arranger or the remixer listening to the song and deciding what elements are important to orchestrate or replay.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting how the was done by like pizzicato strings.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Well, we have no questions left and I don't have any outro notes except for teasing the next episode song. But thank you for listening to this very boring episode.
Well, we're all tired from a long holiday season that's not even done yet.
Yep.
We haven't even
had Christmas.
A lot of snow shoveling.
Hey, you didn't even make me do any, so.
A lot of baking amazing sourdough bread and then having the dog eat half the loaf by accident.
Hey, you finished your first semester of the PhD program, okay? You should be chillaxing. You shouldn't be all stressed.
Yes, I should be chillaxing once we get this episode done.
Well, so, our next song is going to be Stacy's Mom by Fountains Away, and it's an oldie. You suggested it, Dan, and I was like, shouldn't we go with more recent pop? But you insisted, and I actually really like this song, so I'm kind of excited also.
It won't be a boring episode.
Yes.
Not that this was a boring episode.
But it had...
We just picked a song that was so simple and perfect, there was nothing, you know, to really pull apart.
Yeah, there question. Wasn't. There wasn't harmonic things that...
I mean,
but it was good to just rouse over how awesome it is.
Yeah. Don't touch the microphone.
I did touch the microphone.
So this will be a bittersweet episode as we close out 2020.
Because of Adam Schlesinger.
Yeah. Thinking about all the people that we've lost this year due to coronavirus. And Adam Schlesinger was one of the early losses to in the music community that has stayed with me all year. I've been thinking about him all year, and we spent a lot of time listening to Fountains of Wayne down in the basement when you were working on your home training for gymnastics.
All right, let's not make this more like, let's not make this a very long outgoing episode.
All right. So
we'll let our listeners do their thing.
Please, we promise you we're going to get some social media
Facebook page and
Facebook, Twitter, whatever. TikTok. I think we should start with a TikTok.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think TikTok's going to be our medium. But anyway, please keep coming with your questions, requests, comments, 5-star ratings. Please share this with all your friends. We promise we'll keep the questions interesting.
Yes.
And have a great whatever part of the day you're in when you're listening to this.
Yeah. Hopefully you're not listening to this after Christmas, but it's Sunday. It's the Sunday before Christmas. So if you're listening to it before Christmas, have a merry, merry Christmas.
Bye bye.
Yep. Bye bye.